what you found on the pew this morning, those pens, they're not pens, they're seeds. Okay? They're seeds. You are to take these and leave them out. You're going to spread the seed like the sower. Wherever you go, you're going to drop one off. By next Sunday, I don't expect any of you to have a seed left in your pocket. All right? They're nice. Leave it on your desk at work, okay? If you want to keep one, leave it on your desk at work. When you're at a restaurant and the waitress comes and for you to sign the bill, put your pen down there and just leave it and walk away. Be like the sower and sow seed. We got to advertise our congregation. So that's what these pens are for. And I've got more after we hand out all of these. I've got more for us to pass out. So we need to do that. But anyway, we're glad to see everybody here. And we are going to have a very strange lesson this morning. But it's not going to be strange at all. It's called cotton candy preaching. And you're going to like it because, not only because it's sweet, but because it's short. Short and sweet, okay? Just like Linda. Short and sweet. She's very sweet. All right. But anyway, some of you are actually shorter than Linda. I know that. So, but anyway, and you're all sweet. I'll just throw that in there. You're all sweet. All right. Some things are good, but not good for you. All right. And the title of this sermon is keeping you probably very curious. You're going to want to see what it's going to be about. And we're going to make a spiritual application from this. And hopefully you'll take it with you and you will remember this. And the idea is not original with me. I was looking it through my mail and read an article with this title. And it gave me some ideas concerning the modern day preaching that is taking place everywhere. And not just in the denominations, which basically they're nothing more than lies and myths and fables, but also in some churches of Christ. We're not getting the type of preaching that we need. But a lot of preachers, they're sermonettes, and it's short and sweet for these people because he's not talking very much about many things. All right, so I know that lots of people like cotton candy. And there's probably a few in here, I hate the stuff. Well, that's your prerogative. But I'm sure we all have at least tried it, right? Yeah, we've all tried cotton candy. And how much substance is in that cotton candy? You put a big wad in your mouth, it's gone. You know, the other day I was watching on Facebook and saw this little video there. You know, there's raccoons. They like to wash their food before they eat. And so somebody set down a piece of cotton candy next to the raccoon. So he put it in the water to wash, and it just disappeared. He was going all over the place looking for it. Disappeared on him. Well, that's what cotton candy does. All right. But we like it. And like I say, there's not much substance to it. But it's still kind of a neat novelty. You get it at the fair or something like that. And it's been a favorite for many years. And so, but what if your child would eat nothing else? And we know there's kids like that. What if they tried to live on only cotton candy? Well, we know what's going on. What if they threw a fit if they did not get cotton candy? And you know what? We have parents that allow the child to dictate what they eat. There are some kids, they won't eat anything except chicken nuggets. And you try and put anything else on their plate, they're going to throw a fit. Chicken nuggets, that's all they ever want. And so parents, they don't want to hear the child screaming and throwing a fit. So, okay. And they give in to their children. Now, is this good for that child?
No.
No, it is not good for that child. And we know that. And just common sense tells us that. So, we know that such a diet is not good for anyone. Anyone who just eats one thing and one thing only, that's not good for them. And it would not be long before these people died. Now, it might take a little prolonged process, but there's going to be a lot of medical expenses associated with such a problem. The digestion tract would not work properly, and it would give them problems. They'd end up in the hospital. And the doctor saying, well, you need to start eating your vegetables. I don't want to eat vegetables. So guess what? They keep on the same diet. They go back to the hospital, back and forth to the hospital, and so forth. So they have medical problems. And really, poison would work a lot quicker, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. But what parent would give their child poison? Well, sadly, in our world, we've seen people doing this. We have seen parents poison their children. A lot of women take their children and poison them while they're still in the womb. And that is a sad thing as well, killing their children. And we think, what kind of sick society that is? Well, in our sick world, it does happen. And there's a lot of sickness in this world because people will not acknowledge God or live according to God's ways. Now, cotton candy preaching. And we're going to make the spiritual application here. And what if the preacher only preached what the people wanted to hear? Now, that would make the preacher very popular, wouldn't it? Yes, it would. Absolutely it would. You know, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 4 tells us the result of such preaching. See, the members turn aside to fables and myths. That means they accept false teaching. And they want the false teaching because they don't like the preacher stepping on their toes. They don't like the preacher getting into their head and making them think. They don't like the preacher getting into their heart and tugging at their heartstrings. They put on their armor. They protect themselves. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to witness it or anything like that. And so, would it be acceptable to teach false doctrine? The answer is no, right? Yeah, it's not acceptable. Especially now, in this group, we could say that. It's not acceptable to preach false doctrine. But, well, some good stories could teach us about love and generosity. If that's the only thing we got, it would not be good. And that's what people want to hear. They want to hear positive sermons. God loves you and He cares about you. He wants you to do well. And people get on that type of diet while they feel good about themselves, but they're not motivated to keep themselves on the straight and narrow. They feel, well, since God loves you so much, I can stray a little bit to the left. I can stray a little bit to the left. I can stray a little bit to the left. God still loves me, right? When what they need to hear is something that would bring them back to the center. You know, Joshua was told in chapter 1, verse 7, you didn't take the words of the law which Moses, my servant, gave you. Do not stray to the right or to the left. Stay within that law. And we're supposed to do that. But when people are constantly taught, it's okay. It's okay if you sin a little bit. God still loves you. God still loves you. And before you know it, you're out of a relationship with God. And so people need to hear that balanced type of preaching because we do that. I used to go down in Texas about 140 miles away in Waco. There was a preacher that had preacher meetings. And we'd gather together. Preachers from all over the state would come and we'd talk about different things. And they were talking about one particular preacher who was in a college town. And he described what kind of preaching you would get if you went to this congregation. And he said, whenever you go there, you would hear a message about love. Then when you go again, you hear a message about love. Love, love, love is the only thing you heard there. Never stepped on a toe. Sometimes rarely use the word sin in their sermons, telling people that they're sinful if they're in a relationship outside of Christ. They're sinful if they're in a physical relationship outside of marriage. And it wouldn't do that. And so God loves you. So go about, do what you want to do. God still loves you. And you don't have to worry about punishment. That was basically the idea behind it. Now, that's not good to hear. Now, there's nothing wrong with teaching about love and the love of God, as it is a foundation about everything in the church. about our love for God, our love for Christ, our love for the brethren, our relationships we have, the love we have for our families, and the nurture and love we should be giving our children, and the respect we should be giving our parents. All of this stuff, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you only dwell upon this one subject, the church cannot survive. Because when you talk about love, people get that confident feeling, they're okay, and they begin to drift away. And they're weak, and they're not strong, and they're not hearing what they need to hear. They're hearing what they want to hear. And that's what it says. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but wishing to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers of their own desire. And then they will turn aside to myths and fables. That's what they're going to want. And that's how it happens. But the church won't survive that way. Now, there's many preachers in the Lord's church that do not teach false doctrine, but they're guilty of teaching what the people want to hear. And sadly, that is the case in many places. Sometimes it's because the preacher doesn't want to lose his job. It's a cushy job. I once confronted a preacher, a well-known preacher in the brotherhood, and said, "Why did you go there? You know they believe a false doctrine concerning divorce and remarriage." He says, "Well, I know that, but I just avoid that subject." "Now, why did you do that?" "Because they pay very good." The guy was honest enough to tell me, because they pay very good, that he was willing to not speak on what the people needed to hear. And of course, had he gotten up and spoken on what people needed to hear, they would have closed the meeting. I heard of that taking place one time. Preacher got on there, "Here's what the Bible says," and went down the list. He read the scriptures. Then the elders got up, says, "The meeting is over. We're not going to tolerate this." And so it does happen. It has happened. And so we have warnings about this, not to let it happen. And so the preaching is not balanced, nor is it distinctive. In other words, in a lot of our churches, what the preacher says would be perfectly acceptable to be spoken in a denominational church. Because they don't get down to basically book, chapter, and verse type preaching, then they lose out. And their sermons become watered down. So one must be willing to expose the error in people's lives. See, that's the only way they're going to keep on the straight and narrow. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. When the people only want the smooth preaching, they are no different than those in Isaiah's day. Remember Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. "Why do you say to the seers, 'You must not see visions,' and to the prophets, 'You must not prophesy to us what is right?' Speak to us pleasant words," or smooth words. "Prophesy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." You know why? Because every time a prophet started talking about the Holy One of Israel, he was condemning the people. The people were not living right. They were on the wrong pathway. And they didn't want someone to tell them how to get back on the right pathway. They didn't want to move. And people are like that today. They don't want to know the truth about how to get to heaven. They want to know how they can get by with doing things. They want to get by with living in their adultery. They want to get by with living in fornication. They want to get by with doing this or that, or you name it. That's what they do. They don't want to hear what God expects of people. God gives us rules. He gives us commandments. We're supposed to keep those commandments. If we don't keep those commandments, we're not going to be invited into His feast that He has prepared for us. In fact, we'll be sent the other direction into a place very similar to California right now. A place that's burning. You might consider this as a preview of things to come for these people. Especially in this society. But like I said, the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. And when people get used to one thing, they do not want to hear something else. They're happy. They get it. And the sad thing is many preachers are doing just that, giving the people what they want. Now, a lot of preachers preach to please men. You know, like Paul said there, Paul warned about such teaching. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. When a preacher stands up and gives the people what they want, he's not working for God. He's working for you, the people, the members there. That's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear any hard preaching. We don't want to hear somebody saying that certain actions are sinful or anything like that. We want to be accepting of all people, so we can't talk about these things. You know, it's like the idea of, you know, the men with men and women with women. You know, that alphabet soup they have out there. I mean, God says it's wrong. He calls it fornication. Oh, but we just love everybody. We want everybody to come. Well, sure, we want people to come, but we want them to leave changed. They need to change their lives. If they want to go to heaven, they need to change their lives. And, of course, a lot of people don't want to go to heaven, so they don't even try. But there's some who, yeah, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to live by the rules. So they go find a preacher who tells them what they want to hear. They're feeling good. They're feeling confident. Oh, I'm going to heaven. I just know I'm going to heaven. And yet they're living in sin. And they're not going to go to heaven. See, the whole counsel of God needs to be preached. We hear about that in Acts chapter 20. And he told the Ephesian elders, Paul did, that's what he did for them, by preaching the whole counsel of God, which means he preached everything they needed to hear. Everything from God. He preached it all. He didn't leave anything out. He gave them book, chapter, and verse, if we could call it that. He gave them what the Scripture said, and he gave them what the Holy Spirit wanted them to hear. This is what you're expected and how you're expected to live. Remember the book of Corinthians? He gave them a lot of instruction. You're not doing it right. You need to change your ways. And so, he only gave them what was profitable. As he says, I didn't shrink back from declaring anything that was profitable for you. So anything that was good for them, Paul spent that time. He said, I spent a lot of time with you in the temple and preaching from house to house. I taught you these things. Then he warned them that even from among the elders, there would be some that would cause souls to be lost. See, the whole counsel of God needs to be preached, regardless of how it is received. See, that's the commission given to preachers. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and patience. This is what God expects of people. And whether the people want it or not. Now, if the people need it, chances are they don't want it. So that's why sometimes preachers are put in a very precarious position. That's why all of a sudden the numbers start dropping, because people don't want to endure it any longer. And the leader said, well, you're losing too many people. We need to stop that. I mean, there's something wrong with that kind of leadership. Sometimes the preacher is not even comfortable with it. I know there's a lot of times I know I'm saying something that someone needs to hear. And it is uncomfortable. But yet, my duty to God is more important than my duty to you. My duty to you is give you what God wants you to hear. So, that's why we do this way. And that's why we have some, of course, some people moved away, but some just decided they didn't want to tolerate the truth anymore. See, the truth is the truth. And we cannot exchange it for a lie. It is the Word of God. And that's what needs to be spoken. Some preachers, though, they'll take the Word of God and they'll preach every other Sunday. They'll preach a sermon on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love bears all, love is kind, love is patient, bears no ill will, and things like that. And they just keep constantly talking about that. That's what love does. You're supposed to have love. God loves you. I mean, that's all they talk about. But also, we know our God is a consuming fire who doesn't tolerate sin. Hebrews 10:26, if anyone sins willfully, if they choose to sin, it says there no longer remains a sacrifice. The sacrifice of Jesus becomes null and void if you know something is wrong. You say, well, I'm going to do it anyway, and I'll just repent later. It don't work that way. See, the Word of God has the power to save our soul. Romans 1, verse 16. And nobody has the right to change it so as to please others. And that's what they do in the denominations all the time. But sadly, in a lot of churches, they do that. They change it. Changing the Word of God comes in the form of sugarcoating, watering it down, putting in the fabric softener, turning it into cotton candy. You know what I mean? I think you all do know what I mean. And that's what's happening here. That's what's happening in a lot of places. They don't get the preaching that they need to hear. They get all this watered down stuff, and it's all this ooey gooey emotional feeling what they're going through. And when they stand before God in judgment, they're not going to have what it takes. None of this type of preaching will save a soul. See, a true gospel preacher will teach what the people need and not cater to their desires. And sure, it would be nice to hear smooth words. It'd be nice to hear those sermons. Yes, God loves you, and He really does. There's no question about that. God does love you so much because He made the provisions and gave you the provisions what is necessary for your salvation. But associated with that, there are rules. There's guidelines He has given us. There's examples He has given us how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to do it. And if all we take is just the smooth words, there's nothing says, well, I need to do something. God loves me, so take care of me, but I don't want to do anything for God. Seems to be the attitude of a lot of people. See, those smooth words will help us feel good about ourselves. And we really do want that, don't we? We want to feel good about ourselves. We want to walk out of this place thinking, oh, God really loves me. That is so wonderful. It gives me such a warm feeling in my heart. But yet I haven't been encouraged to go out and share the gospel message with others. There's a problem there. See, if we're not zealous for the Lord, we need chastisement sometimes. And some people complain about this. Well, we don't like our toes stepped on. We don't like these words. We don't like to be beat upon by the preacher or something like that. See, chastisement we know is not pleasant, but it is necessary to keep us in the faith. Just read Hebrews 12, 5 through 11. It talks about that. It's not fun. It talks about the fact we had earthly fathers to keep us in line, to keep us straight and on the straight and narrow, to guide us to where we need to go so that we can make the right decisions, the decisions that will help us get to heaven. That's what we need. We need this chastisement from time to time to keep us in the faith. So your preacher is not pursuing your friendship and favor, although it's good to be friends. I like all you guys. I think I've met some of you just once or twice, but I know all of you. I like you guys. You're good. You're good to me, and so I appreciate that, and that's great. But what is more important, as Paul said there in Galatians 1:10. Am I seeking the favor of men, or am I seeking the favor of Christ? See, the primary concern of the preacher is in seeking your spiritual welfare and growth. And that's what I have attempted to do over these years, is to guide you into the direction of living a good Christian life. And fighting and trying to get rid of worldliness and all the problems that this world has to offer is something which so many people are enamored with. They have a difficult time putting it away. And so if you're just doing that, you're not going to go to heaven. And that's what we want. That's what any preacher should want, is for everybody to make it to heaven. And we do. But there is a way in which that can be done, and that way is through Jesus Christ. It's not through some feeling. So, the preacher sometimes will not preach smooth words just to tickle your ears. Sometimes we use different methods as preachers. We sometimes use a humorous background. In other words, keep your attention. You know, I saw something the other day. One of my preacher friends, he had a little stuffed doll he held in his hand during the whole sermon. And during the whole sermon, he didn't mention that doll one time. But you know what? I guarantee you, everybody had their ears glued to everything that preacher said that day because they were wanting and curious about that stuffed doll. They wanted to hear what this had to do with his sermon. I thought that was very effective. I said, that's a good idea. I may put something up here someday and just leave it there, and y'all going to be wondering, what is that? What's it going to say about that? What's it going to do about that? And maybe not even say a thing about it, but I'll have your attention. You know, I do that sometimes. I do say some things that captures your attention, or I put sermon titles out ahead of time. Huh, I wonder what that's going to be about. So you're curious. You want to find out. But when the preacher is going to preach the truth, he's going to prick your conscience and expose the secrets of your heart. And that's what is going to happen. And some people do not want that. They put a shield around themselves. See, if you're not interested in growing spiritually, then I say you're in the wrong place. We should be wanting to grow spiritually, every one of us. We should be wanting to be able to do more for the Lord. We should be wanting to do those things that'll help us get to heaven. And if we're really true Christians, we should be doing things that help others get to heaven. So our purpose here is to worship and honor God in our hearts and from the heart and serve and worship and glorify God and not men. A lot of men stand up, well, Lord, put on my heart to do this or do that, and here's what I did, and they're looking for glory. Look what I did. But no, we're here to worship God. We're here to encourage our brethren to do good works. Do the works of God, which He purposed to do, which we created for us to do, Ephesians 2:10. We're supposed to be doing that, and we're supposed to be zealous for good works. We're commanded to share the gospel with everybody in any way that we can, whether by example or whether by words, however we can do it. We have a great tool these days called social media. You can share the gospel there rather than this garbage that a lot of people do. You can actually share the gospel message on social media. Some people have never even thought of that. And it's been around for how long? A long time. And we need to prepare for an eternal home. That's what our life should be about. Getting ourselves right, doing what God wants us to do, so that we'll hear those words when we stand before Him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Those are the words we want to hear. But if we're doing our job from this pulpit, we're going to tell you how you can get there. Some people want to take the easy path, and that never works. So do you want false teaching or cotton candy preaching? Both will send you to hell. Think about that. We know what it takes to be a child of God, to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and He died on the cross for your sins, to repent of your sins, recognizing you haven't been living for God. You've got to, when it says repent, that means turn away from your sin. Stop the sin in your life. Start living for God. You confess His name. You confess to all humanity, everyone, Jesus Christ is my Lord and King and Master. And you live like He is your King and your Master. And then you be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because as long as you have sin in your life, you cannot have a relationship with God. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 tells us that. And we can wash away our sins, Acts 22:16, in baptism. And then we become a child of God. We have the command to grow in His grace and knowledge, to learn more, to develop more. And then we have the command to share our knowledge of God with others. Now, if you like cotton candy preaching, there's a lot of places that offer it. But if you want the truth, we want you to think about this, because your soul is dependent upon this. If you've reflected upon yourself and you need to make change in your life, we're going to give you that opportunity. We'll pray for you. We'll baptize you if you need it. I can tell you right now, the water's warm back there, so it's not ice cold like some of you have experienced. No, it's a lot nicer. Think about those things. We're going to sing an invitation song. If anyone is subject to the invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.